I'd like to call the meeting to order. And would the clerk call the roll, please?
Commissioner Ashajian.
Here.
Commissioner Blank.
Here.
Commissioner Waiso.
Here.
Commissioner Secord.
Present.
Commissioner Neely.
Here.
Commissioner Potter.
Here.
Commissioner Riley.
Here.
Commissioner Wan.
Here.
Chairman Kruer.
Here.
You have a quorum.
Okay, and the first order of business today, I think we'd like to take a moment of silence to honor all the 9/11 victims and their families. And I know all of us here remember that moment 7 years ago. So if we could just take a moment of silence. Thank you. Staff, will you please announce the changes and procedures for today's agenda?
Yes, good morning, Mr. Chair and Commissioners. Changes to the agenda today. On page 11, item 4, the Sani item, has been postponed.
Which one is that? I'm sorry. Item what?
Item 4, Commission Cease and Desist Order, Sani. Actually, items 4, 5, 6, and 7 have been postponed.
Right.
As well as item number 8, the Brown matter. On page 12, the Ailanto Properties item number 12A is postponed. On page 13, item 15A, Gorman Tanglewood, has been withdrawn. On page 14, item 17A is recommended move to consent. That's the Port San Luis Harbor District repair and maintenance permit. 17A, recommend move to consent. And on page 15, item 21, the workshop on grazing has been postponed. For members of the public that are here today to speak, you do need to fill out a speaker slip, which you can find outside on the table, and indicate which item you wish to speak to. And also, if you have a cell phone with you, please turn it off or put it into a mode that would not interfere with the meeting. And those
that,
are the changes.
Thank you very much. And with that, I'll go right into the North Central Coast District, item number 9.
Okay, for item number 9, I have one immaterial amendment to report, and I'm not aware of any objections to that immaterial amendment. So if the commission concurs with that.
Is there any objection to finding concurrence? Hearing none, the commission concurs.
I also wanted to give you a brief update on Lawson's Landing. It's our bi-monthly update that the commission requested. You'll recall this is Lawson's Landing here in Marin County. It's a site of ongoing permitting at the county level, addressing historic recreational and camping uses out on the site and how to bring the development at this location into conformance with the LCP and the Coastal Act. The current status is that the Planning Commission has had a number of hearings now at the local level. We are continuing to coordinate with local staff on what our views are on both what the LCP would require and also what would be required in our original permit jurisdiction. A substantial part of the property, mostly in this location, is in the Coastal Commission's original permit jurisdiction. So we are continuing to do that coordination. The Planning Commission is anticipated to take a final action on the 22nd of September. After which it would be referred to the Board of Supervisors. And we anticipate having a meeting with county staff in early October out on the site prior to the board action to continue coordination on where they're headed. Right now, some of the major issues that are being focused on are the relationship to the wetlands on the site. And as of this date, the Planning Commission, planning staff recommendation to the Planning Commission would result in approximately 679 campsites on the site. 195 of those would be tent only. And our understanding is that the recommendation is that all of those would be located outside of wetlands. However, the question of buffers to the wetlands is still on the table. And currently, some of the camping would be located within 100 feet of wetlands in various locations. And the details on that are not yet clear, but I anticipate that's going to be an issue for ongoing issue for this commission. Another significant issue that has is being addressed is the fact that much of this development in this area is actually quasi-residential or residential of a long-term nature. And we have advised the county, and the county is pursuing this as well, that that's not consistent with the LCP zoning in this area, nor is it a priority use under the Coastal Act. So one of the issues that's going to continue to be raised is how to address the fact that there is currently residential use in these travel trailers on the site. And related to that is the question of if those travel trailers aren't approved ultimately on the site, what sort of transition or phasing might be required in order to deal with that historic use. And of course, there's still the ongoing question of water quality and how to address the septic system that is out there that needs to be upgraded. Other issues include public access and visual concerns. So, as I said, we'll be meeting with the county in early October to continue our coordination, and you could probably anticipate seeing this at the commission sometime in the spring, probably at this point. So, unless there are any questions, that's the update on Lawson's Landing.
Thank you for that, and that'll move us right into 11A, I believe.
11A is an LCP amendment in the Sonoma County, and we are recommending that it be approved with some modifications to address issues in the LUP concerning protection of agriculture and other resources. The amendment would provide for the facilitation of approval of second dwelling units in the coastal zone in Sonoma County, consistent with AB 1866. Our modifications are designed to harmonize the requirements of 1866 in the Coastal Act. And there's a letter in your packet indicating that the county's in agreement with the modifications. So unless there are further questions about the nature of the amendment, that would conclude my presentation.
Thank you for that report. And are there any ex-parties starting on my left? No ex-parties?
Mr. Chairman, I've had various conversations with Sonoma County planning staff on this amendment, and most recently this past Monday with Greg Carr, the Director of Long-Term Planning, and as Charles has indicated, the county is in full agreement with the conditions suggested by staff.
Thank you, Commissioner Riley. Anyone else? None. We have no speaker slips. So, Commissioner Riley, your pleasure.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that the commission reject major amendment number 1-06 to the County of Sonoma Local Coastal Plan implementation plan as submitted. Ask for a yes vote.
Second.
It's been moved by Commissioner Riley and seconded by Commissioner Akajian. Both the maker and second are asking for a yes vote on this motion. Passage of this motion will result in the rejection of the amendment and the adoption of the resolutions and findings in this staff report. Commissioner Riley, do you wish to speak to your motion?
No, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Is there any, Commissioner Akajian, do you wish to speak to it? Okay. Is there any objection to a unanimous yes roll call vote on this item? Hearing none, the commission hereby denies the certification of the Major Amendment 106 to the County of Sonoma Local Coastal Program Implementation Plan as submitted by the County of Sonoma and adopts the findings that are set forth in this staff report. Commissioner Riley?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move commission certify Major Amendment number 1-06 to the County of Sonoma Local Coastal Program Implementation Plan if it is modified as suggested in the staff report and ask for a yes vote.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Riley, seconded by Commissioner Akajian. Both the maker and second are asking for a yes vote, and passage of this motion will result in the certification of the amendment with the suggested modifications and the adoption of the following resolutions and findings contained in this staff report. Commissioner Riley, do you wish to speak to your motion?
No, Mr. Chair.
Commissioner Akajian?
No, sir.
Is there any objection to a unanimous yes roll call vote on this item? Hearing none, the commission unanimously hereby certifies Major Amendment number 106 to the County of Sonoma Local Coastal Program Implementation Plan, if modified as suggested, and adopts the findings that are set forth in the staff report. Okay. Next item would be 11B. There's a time extension for Half Moon Bay.
That's right. 11B is a requested time extension for an LCP amendment in Half Moon Bay, and we are recommending that the commission extend the deadline for commission action on the item by 1 year.
Okay, no speakers. Any ex-parties? No ex-parties?
I'll move the time
Commissioner
extension.
Commissioner Riley?
I'll move the time extension, Mr. Chairman.
Moved by Commissioner Riley, seconded by Commissioner Potter. Both the maker and seconder are asking for a yes vote. Is there any objection to a unanimous yes roll call vote on this item? Hearing none, the time extension is approved.
That brings us to the Central Coast District, and I have four de minimis waivers to report today. And again, I'm not aware of any objections to these waivers. So unless the commission would like to discuss those or has concerns.
Any objection to finding concurrence? Hearing none, the commission concurs. We have a consent item, I think.
Yes.
Consent calendar on 14.
Item 14 is the recommended for consent, the Port San Luis repair and maintenance permit. There is an addendum in your packet that makes some adjustments to the conditions to coordinate with the port on water quality issues that are ongoing with that repair and maintenance. But they're in agreement with us and have requested the consent calendar.
Okay.
Move second.
Moved by Commissioner Potter, seconded by Commissioner Akajian. Both the maker and seconder are asking for a yes vote. Is there any objection to unanimous yes roll call vote on this consent calendar item? Hearing none, the commission approves it unanimously.
So item 15B is also a time extension for an LCP amendment, and I just need to correct the dates in the recommendation. It should be 2009 is the year in which the extension would go to. So this is a LCP amendment time extension, and again, we are recommending that the time be extended by up to 1 year.
Okay. Any ex parties? Commissioner Akajian, do you have any?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. No, I don't have it.
I'll come back to you. Anyone else? If not, Commissioner Akajian?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that the commission extend the time limit to act on San Luis Obispo County Local Coastal Program Amendment Number 207, Parts 1 and 2 to correct the date by the staff.
Second.
It's been moved by Commissioner Akajian, seconded by Commissioner Secord. Both the maker and seconder are asking for a yes vote. Is there any objection to unanimous yes roll call vote on this time extension? Hearing none, the commission unanimously approves the time extension.
Item 15C is a determination by the executive director that an LCP amendment submitted by Santa Cruz County is minor. This amendment would delete language in the implementation plan that currently exempts residential units reserved for low and moderate income purchasers from the assessment of park dedication fees. The county has reassessed its program, and given that much of this development is being supported by the redevelopment agency of the county, is recommending that this language be placed to remove the exemption. So we're determining that there's no change in the kind, location, intensity, or density of use, and therefore that it's an appropriate minor amendment to the LCP, and would request the commission's concurrence in that.
Any objection to finding concurrence with the executive director's determination? Hearing none, the commission concurs. D.
Item 15D, and there is a couple slides for this, is a City of Santa Cruz LCP amendment. They're proposing to amend their beach and south of Laurel area design guidelines to exempt public and quasi-public projects from the requirements of the design guidelines. The guidelines provide for the retention of neighborhood character, the enhancement of the seaside resort character, and the promotion of tourist commercial uses in the city's beach and south of Laurel areas. Specifically, they identify several required, what are currently required, architectural styles for new development, including Spanish, colonial, and Victorian. The mandatory nature of these guidelines, though, has become problematic for several proposed public development projects that have been contemplated in the beach area since its certification. And if you could go to the next slide, this is a shot of the current main intersection at the base of the wharf. And this site here is currently being used as used to be the skateboard park, and now it's a bicycle park with ramps and things. But that's the site of the proposed Monterey Bay National Marine Sanctuary interpretive facility. And if you go to the next slide, this is a representation of what is currently being contemplated and actually close to being approved by the city as the building that would go on that site. And you can see it. It's not really Victorian or colonial or in design. So They are proposing a design that emphasizes natural forms, materials, and green building concepts and technologies, and that's difficult to fit under the mandatory design guidelines currently. We feel that this type of project would nonetheless be appropriate here, and therefore would support the amendment to allow the design guidelines to address such proposed development. And so we're recommending that it be approved as submitted.
Okay.
The motion is on page
yeah.
2.
Is there any ex parties on this item, starting in my lap? Okay, we have no speaker slips.
Mr. Chair, I move
Commissioner Potter.
I move the commission certify major amendment number 1-08, part 1, to the City of Santa Cruz's local coastal program land use plan as submitted by the City of Santa Cruz. Recommend a yes vote.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Potter and seconded by Commissioner Akajian. Both the maker and second are asking for a yes vote, and passage of this motion will result in the certification of the land use plan amendment as submitted and adoption of the resolutions and findings that are contained in the staff report. Commissioner Potter, do you wish to speak to your motion?
No, sir.
Commissioner Akajian?
No, sir.
Is there any objection to a unanimous yes roll call vote on this item? Hearing none, the commission unanimously hereby approves and certifies major amendment number 108, part 1, to the City of Santa Cruz Local Coastal Program land use plan as submitted by the City of Santa Cruz and adopts the findings that are set forth in the staff report. 16A.
Okay, 16A is a new appeal, and we are recommending no substantial issue on this appeal, so we need to have a hearing. And I don't believe the appellant is here today.
No.
This is an appeal of a Santa Cruz County approval of a coastal development permit to recognize an existing commercial building to establish a master occupancy program for the building that would allow a range of commercial service uses and to remove a portion of an existing building that was unpermitted to install a parking lot with related improvements along McGregor Drive near Borregas Creek in Aptos, California. Essentially, the project is designed to recognize a commercial building that predates the Coastal Act, but whose development history has been somewhat confused and uneven at the local level. The proposed project thus provides a clean slate for the site to establish a clear regulatory baseline against which to measure future use and development. The next slide shows the site, which is this narrow, the grayish site next to the large white building. The white building is the building of the appellant. Right, that's correct. And you can see Borregas Creek up coast. We're about a half a mile inland of the shoreline at this location, and Highway 1 is at the top of the frame there, butting the, and this property is on the access road to Highway 1. You can also see a portion of the building that would be removed indicated there. The appellant's main contentions are that the county's action was inappropriate because the slope of the applicant's site is unstable and poses a threat to public safety, and that the county has not required the applicant to remediate degradation of Borregas Creek on his property. The county's approval, however, does require remediation of site stability issues, control of site drainage, and enhancement of the health of the Borregas Creek riparian corridor. The county's action addresses site stability issues by including a series of measures for better stabilizing the site and slope, including through implementation of the geotechnical recommendations that have been identified. The geotechnical report recommendations were prepared by a licensed engineering firm and were accepted by the county's engineers and geologists. Thus, this aspect of the appeal does not raise a substantial issue in staff's view with conformance with the LCP. Regarding Borregas Creek, some of the development is located within the required 40-foot setback from the creek, but most of this development either precedes coastal permit requirements, for example, a sewer line that's in the area, and some of it has been permitted already, for example, a relocated sewer line. The development that is in the buffer area is essentially, one way to think of it is the building, which is the gray, pointer has died here, but the building itself is not within the buffer. But much of the development just to the left of where you're seeing now, the deck and the parking and the stair and the storage area is within that buffer area by several feet. It's probably within between 30 and 40 feet from the riparian area itself. This is a minor incursion in staff's view, and also, as I said, has either been previously permitted or precedes coastal permitting requirements. So we believe that the county's action, which would require the removal of the portion of the building there, which is in the buffer, and also in conjunction with required restoration in the riparian corridor, that this does not raise a substantial issue in this location, and that the riparian corridor will be adequately protected. So that concludes the staff presentation at this time.
Okay, thank you. Any ex partes? No ex partes?
Yes, Mr. Chair?
Yes, Commissioner Kajian, I'm sorry.
I don't know if you've considered this an ex parte, but there was a phone message left for me on September 9th from Don Embry, just supporting her appeal and suggesting that I oppose the demolition. That was a message left for me in my office.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner Kajian. Anyone else? Commissioner Potter?
No, I have no ex partes, but no. I'm prepared to make a motion if
okay.
you're so inclined.
I will. Just a second. Just a minute, sir. Please. Easy. Just a minute. We have some speaker slips, and I will come back to you after the public hearing and listen to staff, and I'll come back to you, Commissioner Potter. Thank you. With that, I'll open the public hearing and call, as we traditionally do, on the appellant first. And Charles Saul is here. And we give usually 3 minutes per side. And you can start out first, sir.
I would like to hand out some photos of the riparian corridor.
Give them to staff, and they will pass them out and distribute them for you, and we'll start your time when you're ready here. Do you have some slide presentation, sir?
No, I just have the...
Okay, so you're ready to go then?
This is information as of yesterday. Okay, sorry.
State your name for the record, and we'll start the time.
Charles Saul.
Thank you.
I have two photos here. One is of the culvert directly above the freeway, which shows a small stream, clean creek bed, rocky bottom. The other culvert is the first culvert comes out at the top of the Czar property. The second photo is at about 100 yards below the Czar property. There are no other streams feeding into the property, no other water sources, and it shows a culvert of the same size. These are 3 or 4 foot culverts, just about completely plugged by debris. And this is the as a result of this land moving and filling the creek bed. I believe that this certainly causes extreme danger to the railroad, which goes over this. This water backs up any more siltation.
Thank you very much.
Earth movement into this creek will plug it completely. That will back it up, causing a ponding, which will cause the hillside to collapse, because this is basically pushed in fill. And I certainly believe with this that we have to take a serious look at this. I really have nothing more to say than that.
Well, thank you, sir, and thank you for your testimony today. Thank you. Mr. Randy Czar, you'll have up to 3 minutes too, sir. You're the applicant.
Hi, my name is Randy Czar. I'm the applicant. First, I'd like to address Mr. Saul's pictures. I don't really know which culvert he's talking about. There is one below my property that's on county property, and if it's plugged, I sure will call the county and let them know, or we'll get down there and take a look. As far as I know, I have to ask Charles, is that the one right below the parking lot, the one that's plugged?
The problem, sir, the problem is people have to speak into the microphone.
Yeah, I just,
when you ask him a question, then we can't put it on the record. We don't know what the answer is. So if you want to ask him a question, we need to bring him up to the microphone. He will bite into your 3 minutes.
Okay, well, I better hurry. Basically, the one that was clear, the clear culvert he just showed was the one that's at the bottom of my parking lot. The one that was plugged is back at the railroad tracks, which is not, it's past Mr. Saul's property all the way down to the railroad tracks, and I don't have anything to do with that. I don't know if they're, he's trying to say that that came from me. I don't believe it. But I need to get back to what I was originally going to say. I just want to let it be known that the building was existing. The footprint's been there since the early 60s. It survived the 89 earthquake. We don't have any movement on the slope. Which nobody's brought, you know, Mr. Saul didn't, he says that there is, but there isn't. The building doesn't obstruct any kind of ocean view or anything like that. The appellant's property was built in, I think, around 1990 after the earthquake. My property was there during the earthquake. 12 years ago, and there wasn't any damage to our building at the time. 12 years ago, the county was looking for a manhole, and they did a permit, complete permit through the county with a riparian exception, and it's been done 12 years ago. It still remains the same today. The thing that's changing is they're asking for us to do, because of the master, the use permit, they're asking us to redo the soils engineering, and when they went deeper than what the work was originally done, they found that it was a little moist down there, and so now they're saying that we should build this, put piers down to protect for a giant earthquake, and that's what we're going to have to do. It's not going to really change the slope in any way. The slope is completely vegetated, completely, 100%, hasn't changed. There was a superficial slide that started this whole situation a few years back that Mr. Saul hired John Kucinich, soils engineer, to come out and look at, and from there it's escalated into a more of a war. You know, it was for a while. Me and Jarl are trying to communicate at this point in time. But it was a superficial slide. I have two soils engineers that say that. It was due to a water drain that it broke, and the plastic pipe had broken and eroded one little section of the hillside. And from there, it's escalated into this giant, the whole hillside's going to, you know, fall down issue, which is not true. And I think that's about it. Thank you.
Well, thank you, sir, and thank you for coming today. With that, I'll close the public hearing, and I'll go back to staff. Dr. Lester, for your response.
Yes, just briefly, as I mentioned, the planning, the county did require a geotechnical report and the implementation of the recommendations of that report as just described by the applicant. And we don't have any reason to question the expertise there or the correctness of what's being required. So we don't feel there's a slope stability question with respect to what the county required. Related to that requirement, they did also require that part of that stabilization be the planting of more riparian species below the retaining wall work that's going to be done. So there would be some enhancement and stabilization in the riparian area itself on the slope as part of that. With respect to the riparian corridor, I should clarify that Boreagus Creek is an intermittent ephemeral stream. It only flows during rainy times. And with respect to the culverts, that's a new issue for us. We're not aware of any issues ongoing or chronic issues with that culvert. Certainly would be a county responsibility to take care of any maintenance that's needed with respect to water that's flowing through that culvert. We don't have any evidence that there's material from this site that is resulting in any sort of blocking of the culvert. So that would conclude the staff presentation.
Thank you very much, Dr. Lester. And with that, I'll come back to the commission. Recognize Commissioner Potter.
And thank you, Mr. Chair. I move the commission determine that appeal number A-3-SCO-07-029 raises no substantial issue with respect to the grounds on which the appeal has been filed. under Section 30603 of the Coastal Act, recommend a yes vote.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Potter and seconded by Commissioner Secord. Both the maker and seconder asking for a yes vote. Passage of this motion will result in the finding of no substantial issue and the adoption of the following resolutions and findings that are contained in the staff report. Commissioner Wan, you had a question?
Yes.
Okay. Is there any objection to unanimous yes roll call vote on this item? Hearing none, the commission unanimously hereby approves and finds that the appeal number A3-SCO-07-029 does not present a substantial issue. Okay, 16B, I think.
Also a new appeal in Santa Cruz County. The proposed project is the demolition of a single-family dwelling and four associated outbuildings in the Pleasure Point area of Santa Cruz County. The site is zoned residential and is known locally as the Pleasure Point Roadhouse. Again, staff is recommending no substantial issue in this appeal. And slide number two shows the main building on the site, a.k.a. the roadhouse. Some of you may remember seeing this site. It's on the location where we walked with respect to the Pleasure Point seawall. This is just on the inland side of that street in that residential area. The roadhouse and its associated buildings were constructed in 1902. They are now vacant and are in some disrepair. Slides 3 and 4 show you other buildings on the site and their condition. The site has also been subject to some vandalism. The proposed project is to demolish the roadhouse and the outbuildings on the site, to grade the site, and to seed the site with an erosion control grass seed mix. The project does not include new development currently on the site. The appellants contend that the county's action was inconsistent with the LCP because the roadhouse is an historic resource that needs to be protected as an integral part of Pleasure Point's community character, and that it should be purchased and rehabilitated as a public park and community center. With respect to historic resource contentions, the sections of the county's general plan and zoning code that address historic resources are not a part of the LCP. Thus, the appeal contentions regarding historic resources can only be understood in relation to the LCP in terms of community character. In any event, three studies of the site were developed to determine the site's historic status, if any. After reviewing these reports, the County Historic Resources Commission and the Board of Supervisors determined that the roadhouse was not historic and thus is not protected as a county historic resource. With respect to the appeal contentions related to using the roadhouse site as a public park and community center, the project site is zoned currently for residential use. In some cases, the LCP does identify potential park sites on land designated for other things, such as residential use, but the roadhouse is not one of these sites that's designated as such. The next slide. This just shows you a sense of the size and the space there. There is little question that the site, which is about an acre in size, would be large enough to serve as an appropriate park and community facility site, and little question that this use of the site would be supported by the Coastal Act and the LCP were the county to pursue such an LCP change or project on this site. However, that is a different question than whether the county's action was inconsistent with the LCP or Coastal Act access policies vis-a-vis parks. Slide number six, again, the main building. In terms of community character, the appellants contend that the roadhouse represents the style of craftsman or arts and craft architecture that historically was the unifying style throughout the Pleasure Point neighborhood. Over the years, the Pleasure Point area has consisted of densely developed, smaller-scale housing stock, which still defines much of the community despite much more recent, larger, and more expansive residential development in the last two decades. The large residential structure of the roadhouse is located on a large piece of property, as I said, nearly an acre, with larger undeveloped spaces and outbuildings on the site. This is actually atypical of the smaller-scale, densely developed character found in the Pleasure Point area. Also, there are a wide variety of architectural styles in Pleasure Point, and it is not clear that there is any one unifying style. For example, in the following slides, you can see a variety of residential development styles on the parcels immediately upcoast and downcoast of the roadhouse site. And I believe there's one more. And yes. As shown in these slides, there is not one particular architectural style that is representative of the Pleasure Point community character. For these reasons, the appeal contentions related to protecting community character do not raise a substantial LCP issue. One of the appellants also contends that the applicant did not notice the project site adequately prior to the county's hearing on the proposed demolition. The notice for the county hearing was placed behind the cyclone fence. If you go to the next slide, you can there's an arrow pointing where the county's notice was. However, the issues surrounding the roadhouse demolition were widely publicized throughout the community through newspaper articles and other noticing provisions that were met, such as mailed notice to property owners within 300 feet and occupants within 100 feet of the property. It is clear that many people were aware of the proposed project and made their views known on it to the county before the county's hearing on this matter, in part because a petition to save the roadhouse containing 323 online signatures was submitted to the county the day before the Planning Commission hearing on the coastal permit. Also, the notice of this appeal in front of you today has been prominently posted along the fencing of the site, and you can see our notice there. Thus, this appeal contention does not raise a substantial issue requiring commission intervention. This concludes the staff presentation, and again, we're recommending that there is no substantial issue raised with respect to the conformance with the LCP. Motions and resolutions are on page 3.
Thank you, Dr. Lester. And with that, ex parte, starting on my left.
Mr. Chair, the previous phone message that I spoke of applies to this item, not the one. Previously, I had the wrong number on my.
Okay.
By what I meant, it does. The phone messages left considered an ex parte? Needs to be reported?
Well, yeah, you should probably report it. And yes.
Okay.
The answer
Thank
is. You know, you get a lot of phone calls the wrong number, though.
I'm in the yellow pages. So.
Thank you. Okay. Commissioner Potter, did you have one?
Mr. Chair?
No.
No? Okay, just a minute.
I'd refer to Malacacho.
Okay. Commissioner Waitzel, I'm sorry, sir.
Yes, my staff member, Alonzo Gonzalez, spoke with Wendy Hoffman on behalf of the applicant on Monday, September 8th. And Ms. Hoffman stated that the majority of the neighbors support demolishing the roadhouse on the property since it has become a vacant problem property in recent years.
Thank you, Commissioner Waitzel. Commissioner Lowenthal.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm embarrassed to admit, but I believe I had an email from Ms. Hoffman, and I do believe it was turned in, but I can't remember at this moment, so I'll just say it anyway.
Well, thank you. That's fine. You know, anyone else? Not, then I'll open the public hearing. And again, it's 3 minutes per side, and this is a time I don't see a speaker slip, myself or Vice Chair Neely here, for the appellant. And we'd normally hear from the appellant this time. I understand. If the appellant's not here, then I guess. Then we'll go to the applicant, Wendy Hoffman. And you'll have 3 minutes.
My name is Wendy Hoffman. I'm extremely nervous. Excuse me. Our mother's owned this property. She's 89 for 36 years. And I don't know what she's just to address. It's in terrible disrepair, and the neighbors have complained about vandalism. And we do feel a sense of responsibility to remove the building. The county itself has researched the state of the building. We've let anybody come there and do anything they want to do. And Betsy Lindbergh, who is the redevelopment lady, said it would have to be rebuilt as a replica if the county did indeed ever want to pursue a park project there. The historic issue has been 7 hearings over a period of 2 years, and conclusively, it's not historic. People do have an attachment to our property. Some do, some can't stand it. The ones that have an attachment are extremely vocal. The ones that can't stand it have other things to do. I'm so nervous.
You're doing a very good job.
I'm sorry, we've been through so much with this. Essentially, we agree with staff's recommendation. And the appellants aren't bearing any of the risk or the liability involved with our property, in spite of their affection for it. Sorry.
Thank you, Ms. Hoffman. Thank you for your presentation. With that, I'll close the public hearing and go to Commissioner Potter.
Mr. Chair, I move the commission determine that appeal number A-3-SCO-08-036 raises no substantial issue with respect to the grounds on which the appeal has been filed under Section 30603 of the Coastal Act. Recommend a yes vote.
Second. Moved by Commissioner Potter and seconded by Commissioner Secord. Both the maker and seconder are asking for a yes vote. Passage of this motion will result of finding of no substantial issue and the adoption of the following resolutions and findings that are contained in the staff report. Commissioner Potter, do you wish to speak to your motion?
No, I think staff laid out the issues very clearly. I certainly recognize this property as what I would consider to be blight, and I think the staff recommendation is apropos.
Thank you, Commissioner Potter. Commissioner Secord? Thank you, sir. Is there any objection to a unanimous yes roll call vote on this item? Hearing none, the commission hereby unanimously finds that this appeal number A3-SCO-087-029 does not present a substantial issue. Okay, we'll go to...
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
That...
Yes, I know what number. Did somebody say something? I'm sorry.
No, I just wondered if... You all were through.
Yeah, we're all the way.
Okay.
Yeah.
We can move
I'm
on.
I'm through.
All
I was
right.
ready to go to the next item. I thought somebody
Good.
Was trying to.
So am I.
Are you ready?
I am ready. Energy
okay.
and ocean resources.
That's it.
Federal consistency. So the first item I have is a letter for the chairman's signature that would go to the MMS regarding their request for comments on a proposed new leasing offshore oil and gas leasing program. This is a proposal that comes 2 years prior to the end of the current five-year leasing program. It's in response to President Bush's call to accelerate leasing offshore, and this letter basically would represent the Commission's objection to using any current funding for looking at leasing prior to the expiration of the five-year current program. We don't believe it's legal to do so. That's one thing, but that's not the main issue. The main issue is that the concern relative to new drilling offshore, the concerns haven't changed from the last time that the Commission reviewed this issue relative to the threat to sensitive coastal resources, and those concerns are set forth in the letter generally. I would like to make one suggested change to the letter in addition, which would, and you have this before you, this would be in addition to on page 2 at the end of the first paragraph at the top there where it talks about the various potential adverse impacts on not only offshore resources but onshore resources resulting from the infrastructure requirements, add a following sentence that would read as follows. Of course, should new leasing be authorized, the Coastal Commission will review such proposals on a case-by-case basis, applying the law to the facts, including new information and changed circumstances. Just want to make it clear that the Commission, as it always does, would, if this authorization of new leasing occurs, exercise its federal consistency review authority on a case-by-case basis, looking at the facts, so that there's no suggestion here that you've predetermined an outcome on a specific proposal. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I'm asking the Commission's approval for the letter.
Okay. Commissioner Wan?
One suggestion. I have one suggestion and one question. In the list of impacts, one of the major impacts of oil exploration and development is the impact of seismic surveys on marine life. And I can tell you just an article just came out, and that should be added in there. There's an article just came out that the Western population of the gray whale is expected to go extinct within the next 10 years. That's not the population along the California coast, but the one off of the Russia, primarily due to the number of seismic operations that's going on in that area. So that's a significant impact, and it shouldn't be overlooked.
That's, we will add that. That's
okay.
Good.
Then the other question I have is, how does what's going on relative to the quote compromise that's being worked on in Washington affect our ability and jurisdiction here?
Let me discuss that after we deal with this letter, if that's all right.
Other questions on the letter or a motion for approval of the letter as outlined by Director Douglas with the
I'll move to approve the letter as outlined by Director Douglas with the additions made by Commissioner Juan.
Okay, thank you. It's been moved by Commissioner Secord and seconded by Vice Chair Neely. Do you like to say anything more on that?
No, I think we've heard a complete...
Vice Chair Neely? Okay. Is there any objection to unanimous yes roll call vote on the approval of that letter? Hearing none, the Commission unanimously approves that letter.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I was informed last night by a number of people at the event the Chamber sponsored, the reception, that it appeared that current proposals to reach a compromise on lifting the current moratorium around the country on offshore oil and gas development might include a preemption of the Coastal Zone Management Act review authority of coastal states, and that obviously is a major concern. And I did look into that last evening and was assured that would not be included in any bill carried by the Speaker of the House, Representative Pelosi, that they're very conscious of the importance of the CZMA to protecting California's and, in fact, all coastal states' coastal resources, so that review would not be preempted by the most viable compromise measures that are pending. There are, however, proposals on the Senate side that apparently do seek to override CZMA review of new leasing proposals, and those obviously would be very problematic. But given the information I got last night, I don't sense that that is what's going to end up happening at the end of the day. We're watching it. There are lots of people in Washington that are watching it. One of Commissioner Riley's constituents has temporarily moved to Washington. Richard Charter is there watching this closely for all coastal states. And I talked to him last night about this, and he's very aware of it. And so I feel more confident this morning than I did last night that the Commission's authority under CZMA would not be preempted by the compromise that's currently being proposed that I understand probably will come to the House today or tomorrow. So I hope that answers your question, Commissioner Juan.
If the Senate approves it, then there'll be, and the House doesn't, there'll be a need for a compromise. You just never know what happens.
We don't know what will happen then, but, you know, it's a question of how much can be done in terms of conference committee by the end of the session. And, I mean, it's a fast-moving train here, right. So we just have to do the best we can to keep an eye out. And that's why it's important to get the word out that we have to work to protect the integrity of the CZMA review authority.
But if that were removed from us, this would affect what we're this whole process that we're even writing this letter.
Well, and that's one reason why I wanted to make sure that it's clear that this letter is not setting out a position by the Commission that you would automatically oppose any new leasing, but that, in fact, you would, if it's authorized, review it on a case-by-case basis, applying the facts to the law.
Commission has never taken the position that they would automatically.
I understand that, but it's easy to misuse any representation, and especially when you're in an atmosphere of fear-driven politics, as we are currently. So that's an editorial comment.
I was going to ask you about that. No. Yeah, make note of that.
If there are no further questions on that, I do have two immaterial amendments to report. One is Southern California Edison's proposal to add some dredge materials to a beach replenishment proposal at Carlsbad. This is necessitated by the replacement of the steam generator. And then the other one is City of Long Beach adding a pipe loop to their testing facility for the existing desalination pilot project at the Haines Generating Station. So unless there are...
Any objection to finding concurrence with the Executive Director's determination? Hearing none, the Commission concurs.
All right. And the following two items, I should have moved to consent, but I didn't. In any event, item 20A, this is a proposal by PG&E here to install some temporary buildings and equipment and parking area at the Humboldt Bay Power Plant to help with the decommissioning of the plant. All these activities are going to occur with an existing power plant site on previously disturbed sites. We're recommending two special conditions: that all structures be painted in a manner that blends in as much as possible with the surrounding area to minimize adverse visual impacts, and then one regarding lighting. And then the second condition is that within 6 months of decommissioning the power plant, PG&E would apply for an amendment to remove all the development permitted by this action. The resolution's on page 3 of the staff report. And I believe there's a representative from PG&E here if you have any questions.
Yes. Thank you. Any ex-parties, starting on my left? Yes. Commissioner Wesel.
Yesterday I got a phone call from Dave Nish saying that they had reached there was a general agreement with staff and to please support the project.
Okay. Commissioner Akajian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. There was a telephone message left for me from Mr. Nish that they were in agreement with the staff, but I didn't have an opportunity to speak or call back.
Thank you. I also had a call day before yesterday from Mr. Nisha, just a telephone message, and said that he was in agreement with staff on this particular item. Vice Chair Neely?
Mr. Chairman, I had the same ex parte with Mr. Nisha.
Okay. Commissioner Secord?
He doesn't even bother to talk to us anymore. I received the same message from Mr. Nisha.
Yeah.
Me too.
Thank you, Commissioner Potter. So he's got an auto dial now. Yeah. So with that, I'll open the public hearing, and we have no other speakers. So it's Mr. Mullen. Do you wish to speak?
Thank you, Chairman. Crewer Pat Mullen, representing Pacific Gas and Electric Company, and Commissioners. Just very brief to reiterate, we're in full agreement with staff on all the conditions. Really appreciate staff working with us on this project. As you know, it's a multi-year project to remove those old buildings and decommission and dismantle that old power plant in preparation for a replacement facility. And it's a lot of work and effort, and we really appreciate staff working with us on that. Other than that, I'm available for questions.
Thank you for being here, and thank you for those kind comments. Staff, any other response? Anything else?
No, sir.
Okay. With that, Vice Chair Neely.
Mr. Chairman, I move the Commission approve Coastal Development Permit E-08-008, subject to the conditions set forth in the staff's recommendation. Recommend a yes vote.
Second.
It's been moved by Vice Chair Neely and seconded by Commissioner Akajian. Both the maker and seconder are asking for a yes vote, and passage of this motion will result in the approval of the permit as a condition and adoption of the resolutions and findings that are contained in the staff report. Do you wish to speak to your motion, Vice Chair Neely?
No, thank you. I concur with staff.
Commissioner Akajian?
No, sir.
Is there any objection to unanimous yes roll call vote on this item? Hearing none, the Commission unanimously approves the coastal development permit for the proposed project and adopts the findings that are set forth in the staff report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The last item I have is 20B. This is a permit application by Southern California Edison to conduct a riprap repair project at its generating station on the east side of Catalina Island. We do have a modification to one condition I want to read into the record. This is special condition number 3, which refers to deed restriction. We want to add after on the fourth line where it says the applicant has executed and recorded against the parcel governed by this permit a deed restriction, that we would add and lease. So everywhere it refers to a deed restriction, it would now read a deed and lease restriction. With the special conditions that we're recommending, we believe that this repair project is consistent with the Coastal Act, and recommend your approval pursuant to the staff recommendation.
Okay, thank you, Director Douglas. With that, ex parte, starting on my left. No messages, Commissioner Kaja?
Maybe I missed checking them lately.
Thank you. Anyone else? Commissioner, any other commissioners have any ex parties on this item? Okay. None. With that, I'll open the public hearing. Wendy Miller of Southern California Edison.
Good morning, Commissioners. My name is Wendy Miller. I represent Southern California Edison's Environment, Health, and Safety Department. I'm a manager of environmental projects there, and we support the staff report. And we did provide a PowerPoint presentation that really just mirrors the information that's in the staff report, and we'd be happy to show that to you if you'd like to see it. I did provide it to staff earlier this morning. Oh, it is on there, and if you'd like to see it, you may. And otherwise, we just support the staff report, and we'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Miller. No questions. Thank you for coming.
Okay.
Close the public hearing. Staff, any other comments?
No, we have none.
Okay. My colleagues, your pleasure. Commissioner Riley.
Well, I just wanted to note for the record that historically the executive director has refused to put anything on the consent calendar that has to do with Pebbly Beach, and this is on Pebbly Beach Road in Avalon, so I think we need to note that.
Commissioner Riley, we're going to miss your observance.
Chair of
motion. Detail.
At least he's consistent. Thank you.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, I move that the commission approve CDP application number E-07-007, subject to the conditions specified below, recommend a yes vote.
Second.
There's a motion by Commissioner Secord and second by Commissioner Potter. Both the maker and second are asking for a yes vote. Would you like to speak to your motion?
No, sir. Thank you.
Commissioner Potter?
Nor I.
Is there any objection to a unanimous yes roll call vote on this? Hearing none, the commission hereby unanimously grants and approves the CDP application number E-07-007, subject to the conditions below in the staff report for the proposed development.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, and express my appreciation to the representative from Southern California Edison, travel all the way up here to be prepared to answer any questions you may have had, which you didn't. So that takes us on to the next item, which is the Deputy Attorney General's report, which we trailed from yesterday because she was dealing with some conference call issues. Jamie?
It's always good to hear from our best litigator here. So,
oh, thank you. Commissioners, I do have a couple of items to report. First, in Pratt versus Coastal Commission, the California Supreme Court denied the petition for review. In Ocean Harbor House versus California Coastal Commission, the California Supreme Court also denied a petition for review. So those cases are now final. In particular, we're very pleased about the Ocean Harbor House, which recognized the Commission's ability to protect public access and public beaches from adverse development and to require mitigation. As the Commission may recall, it was a $5 million discounted mitigation. And lastly, you may recall a trial court case called McNamee versus California Coastal Commission was a challenge to the Commission's issuance of a cease and desist order for development on the bluff and on the beach in Corona del Mar, as well as the Commission's denial of a permit for the development. The trial court has now denied the petitions for writ of mandate. And I do have something to discuss with regard to that case in closed session, and we'll do that shortly.
Okay.
That concludes my report.
Thank you very much, Ms. Patterson. Mr. Douglas?
Yes, you
We need a closed session, and
yes.
I would suggest
that... wait a minute, but we'll do that. We'll do that after we have a public comment.
Right, I was going to suggest we do that after public comments.
No problem. Took the words right out of your mouth. Thank you, sir. Okay, and with that, we'll go to public comment. Gina Natoli from Los Angeles County. 3 minutes, ma'am? Or?
Minute and a half.
Okay, very good.
Mr. Chairman, Honorable Commissioners, good morning. I'm Gina Natoli with the Los Angeles County Department of Regional Planning. In January of this year, your commission stated that it would like to see the county take more public input on the Marina Del Rey LCP periodic review. And the county's taken the first step in that outreach process. On August 21st, the county held a community meeting at the Marina Del Rey Hotel to discuss our process for responding to the periodic review, including how the public will be participating and helping us in this process, and to take questions and comments on both the periodic review and on Marina Del Rey in general. Nearly three dozen members of the public asked questions and spoke during this meeting, and the county is gathering information that they requested and acting on several of their suggestions. The meeting held August 21st was just the first of many meetings that we will be holding in Marina Del Rey with people interested in the public review, in the periodic review, excuse me, and on Marina Del Rey in general. We plan to have more meetings in the future with individuals and groups helping us to review your recommendations. We plan to hold a community meeting on our draft response, and we plan to have public meetings at the Design Control Board, the Small Craft Harbor Commission, the Regional Planning Commission, and finally at the Board of Supervisors in order to take additional comments from the public before finalizing our response and transmitting it to your commission. The county looks forward to working with both the public and your staff over the coming year so that we may respond to the public periodic review in a comprehensive and meaningful way. Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, this concludes my comments. Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming, and thank you for that report. Okay. That's the...
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
My hope is that somehow this presentation gets back to Commissioner Burke.
Right.
Because this is something he's been obviously very anxiously hoping would occur, and we'll be pleased, no doubt, to hear. And I think also the message that ought to go back to the county to be reiterated, what the commission said, was that you really want to see a comprehensive review of the Marina Del Rey LCP component and not a piecemeal approach to changes there. That seems to be a point in contention at the local level, but I think it's important that the commission reiterate its position and your desire to see that approach to sensible planning for future development and redevelopment at Marina Del Rey.
Thank you, Director Douglas. And with that, Commissioner Wan, you have a couple
just
questions.
A quick comment. Happy to see that, and I'm sure that Commissioner Burke will get that message in for everyone to know, and the county does know that Commissioner Burke has made it clear that he is in, and myself, in agreement with what staff is suggesting, that we not get this in a piecemeal fashion,
that
we get
Thank you.
One comprehensive LCP.
And I assume that because other commissioners haven't commented that you concur in that direction to the county. Okay, I see a lot of heads nodding. So, county, that's the message. Thanks.
Okay. We appreciate the county taking the time coming up here today. Really do appreciate it. Before we close this morning, saying I would like to ask Mr. Merrill if you would like to remind us all about the trip this evening, and if there's any details, so the public is well aware. And you know,
thank you, Mr. Chairman. The cruise tonight is a reception sponsored by Orca, Humboldt Bay Stewards, and Humboldt Baykeeper. It's on the Matticat. It'll leave from the dock just outside the building here. You can park in the same parking lot you parked in this morning, and you go through that first gangway with the blue frame around it, and just walk out to the end of the dock towards the channel. And it's scheduled for about an hour and a half. It may go a little bit longer, so be prepared for that. You know, we're hoping it's going to clear up, but even if it does, it could very well be cold. So be prepared and bring a warm jacket, and we should have a great time. Unfortunately, it's supposed to start at 5. Unfortunately, it's all signed up. It's oversubscribed, actually, so unfortunately no new people can go on the boat, but it is set for 5 o'clock.
Bob, if I just... I'm not going to be attending. I don't want that to be perceived as my disinterest in going. I simply have a personal thing I was going to do this evening with some relatives. So I'm sorry I can't make it. It would have been informative.
We'll miss you.
New relatives. Yes, they are rather new, but I'm trying to be nice to them. And they're very nice people, actually.
Okay, thank you,
Mr. Chair. Oh, excuse me. Go ahead. Yeah.
I was hoping that staff could just give me the number of staff that are going on the trip. And you don't have to do it now, but I kind of need that for reasons we talked about. So the total number, and I hope the word has gone out that they are all welcome.
Have they removed the
$10? No. It's actually 15 now, but but yes, we'll get you the list before we leave here this morning. So.
I'll
that's at least
do it. I'll do it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm going for sure. So.
We're gonna troll you for sure.
I thought you might say that. You want me to keep walking out that off that pier? Yeah. Right. We do. No, we do need. Oh, okay.
Thank you. Mark Carter, the owner of the Carter House and the NB Winery, is a member of the Ingomar Club, and the Ingomar Club controls that rather lovely historic building a block and a half east of the Carter House. And Mark has offered to take some of us on a tour of that building if you would like. I asked him about 6 folks, and he thought that would be fine. We could probably do some more this afternoon. I did not propose a time. So if you'd like to see this structure, why don't you tell me, and I'll call Mark, and we'll organize a tour. And would it be appropriate for 6 coastal commissioners to gather for this tour in the event we studiously avoid commission business?
If it's purely social. If it's purely social.
Yeah,
Thank you, Commissioner Secord. That actually well introduces the comment I was going to make. A gathering of 6 commissioners that is purely social and not related to commission business is of course, completely fine. In addition, this trip on the boat this afternoon, there will be a quorum of coastal commissioners there. Members of the public are signed up to be there in attendance as well. However, because it is not a meeting, the commission and members of the public should avoid discussing commission business during the trip. There will be locations that will be pointed out that will be the subject of future commission hearings, and those, of course, will take place completely on the record at a notice public hearing. They will not be discussed, but there will be locations that will be pointed out.
Okay.
And I might note that there's been quite a change since the Coastal Commission first came up here, because we were invited to the Ingomar Club then, too. And since the vice chair, having been a woman, was not permitted, the commission declined all invitations. That has since changed. Their bylaws now are no longer discriminatory, and it's now open to all. So
I hope it was not just because the vice chair was a woman that they didn't go.
She wasn't allowed.
That's not my point.
Oh,
yeah, I'll talk to you off the record.
It was the issue.
cake.
Dance. Oh,
God. You can put lipstick on me, lipstick. And I'm still a pig.
No.
Well, Mr. Chairman, just to that point, I think we had a brief discussion earlier with the executive director. There was some indication at the reception last night that while the invitation in writing seemed to encourage members of the public to come for a $30 fee, that actually a member of the public did come with $30 and was told it was an invitation-only affair. And so I think that we've asked the executive director to simply express our concern to the chamber about that happening and make sure that it doesn't happen in future years if we're going to continue those receptions.
We will communicate that, Commissioner Riley.
Thank you, Commissioner Riley, for bringing that up. Anyone else before we go? What I think, unless Director Douglas, we could do is we could close the meeting off now and then have our closed session and then report it out. Have people, for those people who want to come back and want to hear what we covered in the closed session, they can do right. So, or we could do it tomorrow, the report on the closed session. What's your preference,
the lawyers? I think tomorrow is better.
Okay.
And if we could take a 5-minute bio break because they have to set up for the.
We'll do that and we'll close the meeting and then start the closed session in 5 minutes. We'll do it that way.
Just follow the stairway to